Let's take our Bibles this evening and let us turn to the book of Ephesians again. If you would do that this evening with me. And tonight I'm thinking here of the people God places in leadership as I think about the church. Tonight we've been through several verses here, but I want to concentrate here, if I could, upon chapter or verse 22 of chapter 1, if I can please, thinking here, and it put all things under his feet, and I gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now the church is not an organization. It's an organism. It has the life of God flowing through it, and God has. And so, I want to deal tonight here somewhat with church polity, how we run the church, and so forth. And so, let me just. I hope you all know what a Baptist church is. Anybody here who doesn't know, don't stand up. I want you to know what you belong to tonight. Now I want to talk about, first of all, what is a Baptist church tonight, because we're talking about the church here. As you look there in verse 22 and 23, we've dealt with other issues in chapter 1, but I'm thinking about the church. If you take each letter of the word Baptist, I think it spells out what we are. I've been a Baptist for a long time. I pastored 3 independent Baptist churches and have done interims in 13 of them now. You're number 13. And I have been even asked at times to, now don't take this out of context, but asked to, would I help a Baptist church, I mean a Bible church? And I've turned them down. The reason why I've turned them down is the fact that Bible churches often have elders, deacons, and pastors. I just don't find that in Scripture. So I want to deal with that. Now, they're good people, love the Lord. The college that I graduated from, most of them were not Baptists. So I later became a Baptist by convictions. And I believe you need to have a conviction about the church you go to and belong to, not be something that you take for granted. So I think about that word Baptist. If you take each letter, B-A-P-T-I-S-T, I've heard somebody say B-A-B, he spelled it wrong. And a lot of times when I'm visiting the hospital, they fill out a clergy thing for clergy, and they want to know what I am. They'll put down, they have their a Protestant or a Catholic or whatever, and I just cross them off, say neither. I'm a Baptist. Because I think being a Baptist is very significant. Now, what does those all stand for? Well, obviously, the B stands for born again membership. That's the first thing. You can't really be a true Baptist unless you believe in being born again. Now, I say all that because I have even found some Southern Baptist churches who don't hold that as a testimony from someone who wants to join the church. That's very important that no one join the church without giving a testimony, the fact that they've been born again. I understand that, Chris, Melissa, you joined recently? It's about time. And you gave a testimony, right, that you were born again. And then A stands for the authority found in the Bible. The Bible is the authority for this church. We have a constitution. That's good. But the constitution is not the biblical authority. Now, we need a constitution, particularly in these days in which government intervention into churches are looking at churches. And I tell you what, we were tested. When I was in Charleston, South Carolina, when we went through that lawsuit, they got a copy of our Constitution. They wanted to know what we believe. I'm talking about the court system. That we were really following what we believed. And they found out we believe in the authority of the Word of God. It is our final authority. And we proved that by the way we were conducting our ministry. And so we're not only born again people, but the authority is found in the Bible. It's not found in a person. There are no Baptist popes. Amen? Found in a person, in the Bible. Then P, that's the priesthood of the believer. Now, 1 Timothy 2:5 says what? There's what? One mediator between man and God, and the man Christ Jesus. He is our priest. I've got a kick. I remember when I was in one church pastoring, a little boy would keep calling me father. And we had to straighten him out a little bit. And I love children. They're just so honest, aren't they? This what they've been told and this and that, and they're honest about it. I remember one little boy came forward one time, and I spit down to him. I said, would you come forward? He said, to go out the back door. I want to go home. And another boy came forward one time, and he had a watch on, and he said, just want you to know you're going overtime. I wanted to just choke him. So anyway, you get interesting things. But we believe the Bible is our authority, the priesthood of the believer. And I think that's very important because I believe in counseling. I've counseled many people down through my years, but I must get them to look to Christ for the solution to their problems, because he is the mediator. He is the one that can help them. All I can do is give them Bible principles. And we need to understand that, particularly among Baptists, because Baptists a lot of times will whatever the preacher says, you do it. Well, if it isn't in the scripture, you don't do it. Amen? We see that. So there is being born again, A, the authority of Scripture, priesthood of the believer. There are two offices. They're not three or four, they're two. And those offices, first of all, is the pastor. He is certainly the shepherd of the flock. And we realize that as we study the Word of God. God has called me to be a shepherd many years ago, and so I've shepherded all these years. And then there are the deacons. And I tell you that deacons are very important to the church. The deacons, I always say the deacons run with the pastor. They don't run the pastor, but they run with the pastor. In my years as senior pastor, I always considered my deacons my counselors, my friends. We did a lot of things together. We always had a deacon retreat every year. We'd get together with the assistant pastors that we had and myself, and we would have a wonderful time with those. So we believe in being born again. Can't join our church if you don't make a profession of that. Authority of Scripture. We believe the Bible. And by the way, I'm going to get a little dogmatic here. Not just any Bible. Very concerned about the fact that you keep your church here, have a pure Bible. We believe in the preservation of the Word of God as well as the inspiration of the Word of God. And so it must be. And it must be very important to the church. Because if not, what translation is correct? Well, how come this is not that way in this Bible? In some places they'll leave certain words out. That's just wrong. We believe in the whole Bible, and the whole Bible doesn't have any holes in it, where they've taken out certain things. We believe also the church is independent. We believe the church should be independent from any other organization. Independent. Now, somebody said to me one time, he said, "That's trouble with you, Baptists. You're so independent." Well, I don't think what he meant by that, I'm not sure. But I do know this, we don't want any hierarchy over the church. You can't have that. It's wrong. And we talk about Baptist, what? Churches, plural. The Presbyterian Church. The Catholic Church. But Baptist churches. Do you see what I'm saying to you? They all are independent in God's eyes. And that's very important. Then they are believing separation. Separation is threefold. We need to be separated when it comes there to from other organizations that are not godly. Now, I experienced that many a time in my ministry. The first church I pastored, I might have told this story, but at my age, you just tell them over again anyway. I was asked if I could do the sunrise service for the community. I agreed to do it with this stipulation that no one would be on the platform with me that did not believe the Bible. They assured me I was the only one. Then I picked up the local newspaper and found out that a Unitarian pastor was going to be on the platform with me. I canceled. And they said, you can't cancel. I said, I'm canceling because you lied to me. I would not originally set up because a Unity Church doesn't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost as I do. I believe in triunity God. That's a doctrinal issue with me. And so I couldn't do it. So we believe there in that important separation. There's personal separation. I believe as a Christian, you need to live a separated, holy life. You ought to keep yourself clean and right with God. And now, you can talk about standards all you want, but we need to talk more about holiness. Because all standards must be based on holiness. I don't smoke anymore. Used to. Don't smoke anymore because it's wrong. And my body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, but more than anything else, I believe that it's a testimony that I'm a Christian. Am I making sense to you? We need to do those things. We need to do that in our dress. We need to do it in our associations and things we do with people. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've won many people to Christ in my time by friendships. But it was always on biblical terms. I wouldn't go where they wanted to go. They came where I wanted to go. Guess where I wanted to go? To church. We won many of them to Christ. And so we see you must be born again. The authority of God's word. Priesthood of the believer. Two offices, pastor and deacons. The word deacon means servant. The word minister means servant too. We're all servants, folks. There are no big shots in the family of God. Pastor is not a big shot. Deacons are not big shots. Anyone that acts so is violating scriptural principle. I hope you understand that. Then there is two ordinances. Two ordinances. Now, we haven't had the Lord's Supper. We probably ought to arrange to have one here soon. The Lord's Supper is precious, isn't it? But the first one is baptism. Now, let me say this to you all here, that baptism always comes before the Lord's Supper. I often hear people talk about why can't they take of the Lord's Supper? Well, listen, folks, there's no command to take the Lord's Supper, but there is a command to be baptized. And baptism is the first act in a Christian's life after they get saved. And when they get baptized, then, it's a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. It's a command of Scripture. But Lord's Supper is a time of fellowship. It's a time of examination, time of coming together. And those are the ordinances of the church. Now, our church here, not any church I've pastored, I would never pastor a church to hold the closed communion. I don't believe in it. The Bible says, let a man what? Examine who? I don't examine you or you, and you don't examine me. Let a man examine himself. Woman examine herself. You see, and make sure they're right with God. By the way, we need to take seriously that, because in Scripture, in the Corinthian church, people who took the Lord's Supper wasn't right with God. What happened to them? Some of them died. So I think you ought to be very serious about taking the Lord's Supper. And there's a college, it's part of a church out in California. The pastor and the leaders there are good friends of mine, but they hold a closed communion. It's wrong. And I believe firmly that if someone come in this door, we were having the Lord's Supper, he's to examine himself. We tell them they need to be saved and baptized, living right with the Lord. It's up their choice to take that Lord's Supper. It's not anybody else's choice, unless somebody's under church discipline. Now, somebody in this church is under church discipline. They're not, the deacons help out. They say, no, you can't take that. And we've had that in our churches. In my time, I think we have, in my 52 years in the ministry, we've had the church discipline a good dozen people and better. Now, that's a lot, but they're talking about moral problems. Most churches will discipline people over moral problems, but what about unity? What about causing discord? That also is biblical reason the church church discipline somebody. We did that in Charleston. They were creating all kinds of problems, had money, creating all kinds of problems, and we had the church discipline. Now, you know what they did to us, didn't you? They sued us. David Gibbs was able to help us somewhat, but it did cost our church a lot of money. Would you have done the same thing over again? Yes, I would. I would do it because it's biblical. And you do what the Bible tells you to do. So we see these, and we see the Independent Baptist Church. I didn't say two offices, one of the T, didn't I? I gave it all to you, and I left one out, didn't I? Let's go back over that. B, born again. A, authority found in the Scriptures. P, priesthood. Two offices, pastor, deacons, I, independent, S, separation, and two orders. I guess I did get them, didn't I? They're key. Now, let us think separately something else about here. So we see that that's the polity of the church. That's very important to us. Now, think with me for a moment. I want to give you six words. If you want to write the word down, six words that speak of what our church here is really about. First of all, congregate. We congregate. Thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate seeing you. Now, some of you thought I wasn't going to make it, didn't you? Alyssa was looking at her watch and stuck her tongue out at me and everything. No, she didn't. But, where are you? I'm here. But anyway, keep in mind, we do this for fellowship. I want you to turn to the book of Acts for a moment. And I want you to turn over there to Acts chapter 2, because I believe here you have some very important instructions concerning the church. Look at verse 42, and you're going to find some things there. You're going to find, and I'm going to read the verse and come back. Verse 42 ought to be highlighted in your thoughts, if not in your Bible. Where it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that which teaches God's truth. Doctrine is teaching God's truth. And we need to do that. Then he says, in fellowship. And that is the tithe that binds us. You ever sing that song here? Let's be the what? Ties that bind. I didn't say tithes. Although that binds us too, doesn't it? Thank God for the tithe that binds us. That's fellowship. And the breaking of bread, that's the table, where we gather around and think of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in prayer, that's where we go to the throne. Those are wonderful things he's put in there. So we notice the word fellowship. That was we congregate here. You can't have fellowship if you don't show up. Now, I understand some are listening tonight because they can't be here because of the COVID. I understand that. But I've said this more than once. We have to be careful that we do not allow the COVID to keep us from being where we need to be. We need to get over that. And I don't know if we may have it another 2 or 3 years. Pray we don't. But let us be a church that stands firmly, that we congregate. We congregate, that's fellowship. And then the second word I want to give you is to educate. To educate. Why do we preach the Word of God? We have teachers here in our service tonight who teach the Word of God. And the pastor should have doctrinal truths in his preaching. That's very important. Be able to say, thus saith the Lord. So we congregate, we educate, and we also, we communicate. We communicate the love for each other. Are we communicating the love for each other? Somebody say amen or oh my. That doesn't mean we're all going to agree everything. I was listening, and I couldn't listen to it all, was the Attorney General before the United States Senate. Anybody else hear that today? Anybody stupid enough to turn that on besides me? But I'm going to tell you something. That fellow didn't know what he was doing. Attorney General didn't have a slightest idea. I don't think he knew where he was. I don't think he did. And when Ted Cruz got after him, it really got pretty rough. But I will tell you today that we need to love one another. Love is not just I love you, it's actions. When the Bible said God so loved the world, that's just not words. It was actions. He said his only begotten son to take care of the problem of my sin and your sin. So we need to demonstrate that love that we talk about. And I hope you'll do that. So we congregate, we educate, we communicate, we dedicate. It's another word. Dedicate our lives to God's service. Please be dedicated if you're in the choir to sing in the choir. Please be dedicated if you teach to teach. Please be dedicated doing what God would have you to do. Amen? Be dedicated to it. Be dedicated to it. I appreciate Steve and others who are at the door so I can harass them when I come in. Everybody's got something they can do in this church. Everybody. And those who teach those little ones downstairs, God have mercy on your soul. But we need you. We need you to do that, amen? And so we dedicate. We dedicate through our offerings. Please keep the offerings up. Thank God, I think you're doing a good job. Love for your church is found in your giving. I saw a sign on the back of a car one time that said, if you love Jesus, honk. Another sign said, if you love Jesus, tithe. Any old goose can honk. I like that second sign. Then we not only congregate and educate and communicate, we dedicate, but we celebrate. Singing. Oh, Now, I love to sing. Not everybody enjoys my singing. First time, and honey, I don't know if you went to bed or you're listening tonight, wasn't feeling well, but if you remember the time when we moved to California to study for the ministry, and I was so excited, I just sang at the top of my voice, and Marilyn turned to me and said, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Well, I just put that songbook down, and I was just too mad. She asked for forgiveness. She didn't realize I sang that bad. I only found one other person who sang worse than me, and that's David Gibbs. Terrible singer. I've been on the platform with him and say, "Oh, God, help us." With he and I singing together, it's a noise. But we did it from our hearts. We obviously didn't from our mouth. But I'm glad that we can celebrate through singing. I hope you don't take these ladies for granted who plays these instruments. Have you ever gone out of your way to thank this young lady over here, this young lady down here, to say thank you for playing those instruments? Don't take it for granted. And I'm thankful for the specials. No one's ever asked me to sing a special in this church. Don't start now. It's too late. I'm already offended. You know I'm not. So celebrate. And then commemorate the Lord's Supper. That's another word. That's the sixth word. So we're to congregate. We're to educate. We're to communicate the love for each other. We're to dedicate ourselves to His service. What are you doing to serve in your church? And we're to celebrate and we're to commemorate. So that's the polity, P-O-L-I-T-Y, the church polity. That's what we are. That's what makes us different than a lot of other churches. Now, that doesn't mean there are others who are not going to heaven. Amen? Do that through Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be the only one up there. I heard the story of a fellow who telling the story about a fellow was touring heaven, all the marvelous of heaven. And he said, "But what's that group over there?" He said, "Well, that's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones here." I hope we don't believe that. You need through Jesus Christ, and I'm very thankful for that. Now think with me as we dealt with the polity, where I'm here dealing with the church there tonight. Go back with us in our text there in the book of Ephesians for just a moment, and just want to read that once again to you. I'm mainly just taking you from different places because I want to deal here with church polity. And we're there again in verse 22 of chapter 1, "And put all things under His head, His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things the church." Now, the book of Ephesians emphasizes the body of which Christ is the head. The parallel book to that is Colossians that emphasizes the head, Jesus Christ, of which the church is the body. The theme here is the body. Go to Colossians, the theme is the head. And the head is very important to the body. It can't live without the head. So he comes down here, and think with me for a few moments, the pastor and the deacons. Now let me say to you, a pastor is divinely appointed. He's not appointed by the church. Now you called a pastor. There's a difference between divinely appointed and calling. You called me to be an interim. Some of you said, "What in the world? Why did we do that one?" Well, it's too late now. But anyway, God, you called me, but God called me many years ago. Are you ready to this? He called me before I was born. Yeah, go to Jeremiah. Go to Jeremiah for just a minute. Chapter 1. And look there with me at a tremendous thought here. I'll get to it eventually. Verse 4, Jeremiah 1. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, this is Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thee came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Now God ordained Jeremiah long before he was ever born. God ordained me. And if you would have known me before I got saved, you would have said, God, you made a mistake. But salvation comes. I think I've mentioned this to you. I think during the holidays, I reminisce a lot. I was thinking of the five of us. I think I mentioned it not too long ago. And I think of Ron and Fraser, and I think of Larry Single. I think of Grant Oliver and myself and Jimmy Walker, five fellows who grew up together and did things that we're never proud of. But only two of us made it to 21. Tragic deaths on the other three. And just before I got saved, I was wondering why didn't I hang myself? Or why didn't I die in an auto crash? Or a flame of fire as another one did? Because God knew I'd be saved and called me into the ministry. Then I thought of the ability that I don't have to be a pastor. So turn with me for a moment to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Divinely appointed. And then educated by the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that every pastor ought to have some training. Amen? I believe that's true. But if he hadn't been called by the Holy Ghost and educated by him, all the training he can get in any college or seminary, I call them cemetery sometime, not going to do him any good. Look what he says here, verse 12, chapter 1. And I thank the Lord Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. Where he gifted Paul with the ability. By the way, if you study 1 Corinthians, Paul's most personal letter about himself, Paul knew he was not a good speaker. Had a hard time pronouncing words. You say, well, he sounds like you, Stevens. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm with that. But God enables. And then he counted me faithful. He not only gifted me with the ability, but he said he graced me with his approval. Now, I believe every pastor needs to be ordained. But I believe he's ordained twice. He's ordained before the foundation of the world, before he was ever thought of being born. And then there's a council that I've been to many of them. I never will forget my ordination. It lasted 3.5 hours. That's half of the tribulation period, and I thought I went through the whole thing. Putting me into the ministry, he's guided by his providence. He was not only gifted in his ability, grace with God's approval, but he was guided by God's providence. Everything worked out. When I went off to Bible school to train for the ministry, I met with the dean of students, Dr. Christian, godly man, good man. He said to me, I looked at your academics, your transcript. There's no way you'll make it through here. But where, if you knew where I lived and how I lived, you understand, well, they just brushed us through. Didn't have the ability. Didn't have those things I needed. But I went ahead and went on. Just took me a little longer because God was in it. And the man that you want in this church must be one who is divinely appointed. Their pastor is given three titles. You know that? Every pastor is given. Yeah, you call me pastor. I appreciate that. I'd rather be called that than bishop. That's another name. Now, I don't take this out of context, but many of your black churches, the pastors are called bishops. That's okay. If you call me bishop, I'll kick you. I like pastor or preacher. Preacher's what he does. But if you'll go to the book of Acts, and you'll turn over there with me to Acts chapter, I don't think I wrote it down, so I'm going to try here. Acts 20. Try to go to Acts 20. I'm going to have to finish a lot of this next week, aren't I? Say amen. I didn't say to say oh my, I said they say amen. Now there are three titles here, are all referring to the one and the same people, persons. Paul the Apostle is talking about the church at Ephesus beginning in verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. The word elder is the Greek word presbyteros. You ever hear that word? Of course, that's where you get the Presbyterian church. The word presbyteros. It has to do with his person. It has to do with how mature he is as well. He's called an elder. Then you go in that same chapter. Go with me, if you will, please, to verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto you who are unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now that's his position. That's the Greek word episkopos. You ever hear that word? Episcopal church. That's what they have. That's the word. That refers to an overseer. That's his position. He is to oversee the flock. He must be interested in every one of them equally. You listening to me? Equally. There are no big shots in this church. He's to oversee them equally. I know of a pastor who down through the years in Florida, he has emphasized in his personal relationship with people that had money. That's sin. Because as an overseeing, he must be overseeing all of them. He is the episcopate. Let's get the word out. That's his position. That's his also his person, an elder that he deals with maturity. He can't be a novice. And he must know what he's doing. I'm reminded of the great preacher R.G. Lee. Did you ever hear that name? Great. Everybody hear that name? Home of the Lord, of course. Build a big church. But once a month on a Sunday afternoon, he would attend this black church up in the mountains on a Sunday afternoon. He said, I'd love to hear this preacher preach. He said he'd go into that church and the preacher would say, what I sees is what I says. And he'd just open his Bible up and begin to preach. And Dr. R.G. Lee said to him one Sunday afternoon, he said, sir, I love coming here. Oh, he said, Dr. Lee, it's so good to have you. What a blessing it is to me. You have such a big church, you run 3,000 or 4,000, 5,000. He said, let me ask you a question, he said to the fellow. He says, do you ever think about studying? He said, well, I never thought about it, but I'll do it this week. And so he studied and he got in the pulpit that next Sunday and he said, I'm going to preach on Naaman the leper. Naaman was quite a leaper. He leaped here and leaped there, and what we need in our church is more leapers. Dr. R.G. Lee, Lady McDorney, said, forget about that study, son. You just forget it. You're not going to make it. Well, you can do that to a certain extent, but every preacher needs to be able to defend what he believes and believes what he defends and know what it's all about. So we realize here he's an elder, he's a bishop. And the third word here, to feed the church, that comes from the Greek word, we get the word pastor. That's his purpose. My purpose here is to pre-feed you. I pray that I do that. I want to do that. That's my goal. And I know that, pray that the next pastor will come and be the one who leads you and feeds you and direct you. Be a wonderful thing. So I'm praying for that. So he's an elder, he's a bishop, and he's a pastor. Now, I'm going to stop here because the clock is ahead of me now. And I'm going to deal a little more next time about this because the church is, this is the second time I've noticed my notes that I've preached on the church, but not these thoughts. Because the church is the only organization on this planet that's ordained of God. Say, what about colleges? Every college has people in there that belong to a local church. Hello? They don't, they're out of order. I pray tonight that we'll understand the need of the church and how vital it is.